Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with our teaching, the Book of Romans, our guidebook for Christian living. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the Book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's word, his promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus, the kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the Book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment. To everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek Gentile." Verse 17, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written, and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith." If you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We finished examining chapter 4, verse 18, when I ran out of time. Please go to the Book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 19. Romans chapter 4, the main topic of discussion is justified by faith. Verse 19 reads, the Bible says, without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead for producing children since he was about 100 years old, and he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here's my comment regarding verse 19. Abraham was not weak in faith. He did not allow the circumstances of life to dictate to him whether he would believe God or not. In like manner, we must look to the promises of God for our reality, not the ever-changing challenges of life. We don't deny the evil circumstances, nor do we prescribe to it as truth. Remember, everything in this earth realm is subject to change. Our truth is founded in God's word that does not change. Jesus Christ, the word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. All right, let's go on to verse number 20. The Bible says, but he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and empowered by faith, giving glory to God. Here's my comment regarding verse 20. Abraham grew strong in faith and gave God the glory. We must grow in faith too. How do we grow strong in faith? The scriptures tell us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Therefore, we must hear God's word continually. We must study diligently. Here's a supporting scripture that you may read on your own personal time. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. Again, we must study diligently. Then we must apply the word to our life by doing God's word. In other words, we must be obedient to do the word of God. Now, here I do want to turn to the supporting scripture. So please go to James, the book of James, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 14 through 18. James 2, starting with verse 14. It says, what is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can the kind of faith save him? No. A mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. Verse 15. If a brother or sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, and one of you says to them, go in peace with my blessing, keep warm and feed yourselves, but he does not give them the necessities for the body, what good does that do? Verse 17. So too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. But someone may say, you claim to have faith, and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without the works, if you can, and I will show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do. Now, I do want to point out some very important passages within this one scriptural that we're passage that we're reading. And I want to go back to verse number 14 and just highlight the last part of the verse that says genuine faith produces good works. Not that we're saved by the good works, but when you're operating according to God's faith, godly faith, it will produce good works, and it should. All of us Christians who are developing and maturing in the Word of God should have good fruit showing from your good tree. So I want to read verse 17 and 18 one more time so that you can hear very clearly what we should be doing as mature Christians operating by faith. It says, so too faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. But someone may say, you claim to have faith, and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without the works, if you can, and I will show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do. So that's the key. Using your faith to do good works. Amen. All right, let's continue with verse number 21 from the book of Romans, chapter 4. The Bible reads, being fully convinced that God had the power to do what he had promised. With regards to verse 21, I have this comment. Abraham was fully convinced. How did Abraham become fully convinced? The same way we must go from weak faith to strong faith. We must take baby faith steps at first. Believe God and exercise your faith on the little issues of life. Those issues that will not kill you graveyard dead. Each time you get a victory, you continue to believe and act on the word of God for the next challenge in your life until you are stepping out in faith for the major issues of life. Each victory you obtain gives you more trust, faith in the living word of God. All right, let's read on to verse 22. The Bible says, therefore, his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. Here's my comment regarding verse 22. Abraham's faith in God's promise was credited to him as righteousness, even though Jesus was not yet born to save him from his sinful nature. Let's go to the Bible and read verse 23. It says, now not for his sake alone was it written that it was credited to him. All right, here's my comment regarding verse 23. Notice that Abraham's faith was not credited to him alone. Again, he was promised to be the father of many nations. He is our father in the faith, and that includes every Christian under the New Testament. All right, let's continue with verse number 24. Verse 24 in the Bible says, but for our sake also, to whom righteousness will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Here's my comment regarding verse 24. Our righteousness is credited to us when we believe our God and accept the gift of salvation in Jesus. This is our faith in action. We believe God's word, and so we act on God's word, accepting the salvation package that God provided for us through Jesus Christ. All right, let's continue with the last verse in chapter 4. Verse 25, the Bible says, who was betrayed and crucified because of our sins and was raised from the dead because of our justification, our acquittal, absolving us of all sin before God. Here's my comment regarding verse number 25. Jesus was betrayed and crucified because of mankind's sin. Once he resurrected, completing his assignment, those who choose to receive the gift of salvation are justified, forgiven of all their sins before God. We go from spiritually dead to spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that concludes chapter 4 of the book of Romans. Let's continue with Romans chapter 5. The main topic for chapter 5 is results of justification. The results of justification. Let's read verse number 1 from chapter 5. The Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. Before I give you my comment, I do want to read from the study Bible the footnote that they have prepared for this verse. Justification. God's gracious justification of the believer does not take place by stages or degrees. It is instantaneous, judicial, not guilty declaration, based on the perfect obedience and the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ. The believer now has peace with God through Jesus Christ, full pardon of his sins, and the title to eternal life. The crowning gift is an abiding joy and peace in the Lord, which remains in spite of outside circumstances. I love that comment. It is right on point. Our name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, and no one or nothing can take this gift from us. Each individual is the only one that can denounce their salvation in Jesus and choose to go to hell. So we are well equipped to stand before Satan, his demonic forces, evil assignments, because Jesus, again, his perfect obedience and perfect gift of love completed all the work on behalf of you and me. Amen. All right, let's read verse number 2 from the Bible. Through him, we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. Wow. All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 2. As wonderful and reassuring it is to know by faith that we will live for all eternity with our Heavenly Father, we are also promised the glory of experiencing our great God, excellence and power here on earth. So we are not defeated. We are not the victim. We got the victory in Jesus. We need to find out what those promises are and apply them to our life. All right, let's go on to verse number 3 in the Bible. The Bible says, and not only this, but with joy let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardship, distress, pressure, trouble produces patient endurance. All right, here are my comments regarding verse number 3. The key phrase is in our hardships. We do not rejoice for our hardship, distress, pressure, and trouble. Rather, we rejoice in it because God has provided us the way of escape through Christ Jesus. Remember, faith in God is developed by using his word to stand against Satan, his demons, and evil assignments. The more we apply our faith, the greater our endurance to stand against Satan is successful. All right, family. Again, we don't thank God for the hardships. We thank God in the hardships, knowing that we have the way of escape. All right, let's continue with verse number 4. The Bible says, and endurance, proven character, spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope, and confident assurance of eternal salvation. Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. The key phrase is our spiritual maturity and confident assurance of eternal salvation is based on this endurance. The stronger we get in our faith walk, the more we'll be able to stand in victory regarding any challenge that Satan will try to bring against us. We have victory, no exception, because the victory was won in Jesus. All right, let's read verse number 5. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. All right, verse number 5. Now here I do want to make a correction in the translation of this verse. And here's the section or phrase that I'm going to make the correction on. It says, such hope really should read faith. Such faith in God's promises never disappoints us. The reason I'm making this correction is because hope is having a good attitude while the ship is going down. However, when we operate according to God's word in faith, we will always be victorious. Faith will keep the ship afloat. Faith is doing God's word, not just hoping it will all work out somehow. So faith is the key to operating in victory in God's word. All right, let's go to verse number 6 in the Bible. The Bible says, while we were still helpless, powerless to provide for our salvation, at the right time, Christ died as a substitute for the ungodly. All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 6. This verse lets us know how great is the love of God. Jesus died for all of us while we were still sinners. God did not require us to clean ourselves up before offering us his gift of salvation. We come as we are in sin to receive redemption through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. All right, let's go on to verse number 7. The Bible says, now, it is an extraordinary thing for one to willingly give his life, even for an upright man, through perhaps for a good man, one who is noble and selfless and worthy, someone might even dare to die. Here's my comment regarding verse number 7. Paul highlights that this kind of extraordinary love might be demonstrated for an upright person. But would we do it for someone who is an outright sinner? That's the question he is posing to the reader. All right, let's go to verse number 8. The Bible says, but God clearly shows and provides his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here's my comment regarding verse number 8. We know from reading scripture that God is love. Well, here is where God proves to us his love by his action. Jesus died for all sinners and gave us back our relationship to our Heavenly Father, even though we did not deserve it. Let's read verse number 9. The Bible says, therefore, since we have now been justified, declared free of the guilt of sin by his blood, how much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him? Here's my comment regarding verse number 9. Now that we have been declared justified, acquitted in Jesus, we are saved from the wrath of God's punishment, which is eternal death. As a result of our righteous standing before the Father through Jesus, we have eternal life. Amen. All right, let's read verse number 10. The Bible says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain, having been reconciled, that we will be saved from the consequences of sin by his life. That is, we will be saved because Christ lives today. All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 10. While we were enemies of God, through the death of Jesus, we were reconciled back or bought back to the Heavenly Father. Further, because Jesus lives, we are saved from the consequences of sin. Without the physical spiritual death, and then the resurrection of Jesus, our salvation in him would not be complete. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the good work that was completed on our behalf. Let's continue with verse number 11. The Bible says, not only that, but we also rejoice in God, rejoicing in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation with God. Here's my comments regarding verse number 11. Paul continues to remind the reader that it is the work that Jesus completed, that man receives and enjoys reconciliation with the Heavenly Father. It is not by our own works. Rather, it is by our faith in the only begotten Son, Jesus, the Messiah. All right, let's continue with verse number 12. Verse number 12 reads, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all people, no one being able to stop it or escape its power, because they all sinned. Oh, I'm so sorry, family. We are out of time. But please return next week as we continue our study of the book of Romans. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.